The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus' calming of the storm on the sea reveals his power over evil, since the sea represents evil and chaos. The boat on the sea is a symbol of the church and invites us to trust God amidst life's turbulence. The Gospel lesson. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, amidst the storms of life, you promise to be with us. And we thank you for your great and gracious presence always. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Laura, Harvey, Irma, Sandy, Ike, Katrina, Andrew, and Agnes. Sound like names you would hear at a cocktail party in the 1950s, don't they? But we know them in a very different context. These are the names of some of the most devastating hurricanes in history. Storms whose impact on the lives of people continue long after the clouds have parted, the floods have receded, and the winds have died down. We watched with horror the devastation wrought by Hurricane Laura in Louisiana last year, the fifth strongest hurricane to make landfall in the U.S., caused $16 billion in damage, but really peanuts compared to the $125 billion that Harvey wrought on Texas and Louisiana in 2017 and Katrina in 2005. Islands in the Caribbean, like Puerto Rico, lost most of their infrastructure. Our Uber driver pointed out damage over a year later, driving us from the port of Galveston to the airport in Houston. Harvey was soon followed by Irma, which hit the Caribbean again and then turned her wrath on Florida. The recovery from these storms often takes years. But even then, the memories linger. You know, naming storms is something that humans have been doing for a long time. In a practical sense, storms are given these short and distinctive names in a way of reducing the confusion when two or more storms hit around the same time. The World Meteorological Organization, or WMO, began the process of officially naming storms in 1953, at first using female names and naming them in alphabetical order. Male names were added in 1979. And while reducing confusion may be the official reason these terrible storms get names, something psychological is in play when a name is assigned to a force that threatens us. In fact, the word hurricane is itself derived from the Spanish word Hurricane, which was likely inspired by the Mayan storm god Hurricane. Ancient peoples often put names to forces of nature that were mysterious and destructive as a way of attempting to control or manipulate them. Of course, you can't control a hurricane, but naming it at least gives us a way of identifying a common natural enemy. Now, the fishermen of Galilee didn't put names to the storms that came screaming out of the Valley of the Doves on the western shore of the sea, but they also knew that these storms were a real threat to their lives. It was a reminder that they were still subject to the forces of chaos, evil, and death. In fact, in much of Scripture, as we said at the introduction to our gospel, the sea represents calamity. All we have to do is turn to the first verses of Genesis to see that. The sea represents chaos. When God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the water. Darkness, wind, deep, the image of a churning storm. And yet, in the midst of that stormy chaos, God begins to separate things out, bringing light to pierce the darkness, separating the waters and the waters from the land. The creation story is how God brings order out of chaos, which then becomes a metaphor for the whole biblical story, the story of how God deals with evil, both natural and moral. The story of Scripture is the story of how God brings the people of God through the waters of evil into a new creation. I don't think it's any accident then that Mark preserves the story of Jesus and his disciples on a boat being tossed by an unexpected and violent storm. Fear, panic, desperation come over these fishermen who have clearly never experienced this type of storm, this severity. Mark tells us that in the midst of all of the chaos, Jesus is in the stern of the boat, napping quietly on a cushion. The disciples, meanwhile, are in a panic. Huh. Jesus apparently doesn't sense the chaos, the evil that surrounds them, and so they're concerned. "Wake up," they yell over the howling wind. "Don't you see we're dying here? Don't you care?" Well, Jesus wakes up. Notice he doesn't answer their question. Instead, he stands and addresses the wind and the waves. Mark says he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Mark and the other gospels, for that matter, make it clear. Jesus has command over the wind and the waves, over chaos and calamity, over evil and despair. Notice Jesus doesn't make any explanation of how he does this. Instead, he turns and asks them a question. "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" You have to wonder if the disciples were thinking something like, "Well, duh, of course we're afraid. We're in a Category 5 storm. We almost died." And then Jesus stands in the boat, raises his hands like Moses over the Red Sea, and the forces of nature obey him. "So yes," say the disciples, "we were afraid." In their fear, however, the disciples have forgotten one important fact. Jesus was in the boat with them. They woke Jesus up so that he could share in their panic. Jesus, on the other hand, wants them to have faith, not fear. Always remember, I am in the boat with you, Jesus says in effect, and I've got this. The storms hit us too, don't they? Often with great fury. Many devastating hurricanes can hit our lives no matter where we live. Hurricane COVID-19, hurricane cancer, hurricane divorce, hurricane unemployment, hurricane financial crisis, hurricane grade point average. What's your hurricane? Where is Jesus in the midst of these storms? Where is he when the waves of death, destruction, and doubt threaten to sink us? Where is Jesus? He's in the boat with us. And there he invites us to turn from fear to faith, the kind of faith that Jesus himself had in the God who brings order out of chaos and will one day still all storms forever. Jesus will still be in the boat. Some of you here this morning or joining us online may be facing serious storms with memorable names. You're afraid, and rightly so. But you can put your faith in the one who lived and died by faith. You see the wind and the waves, but can you focus your eyes on Jesus, the one whom the wind and the waves obey? When the ship is tossed, maybe you can think only of your doom, but instead I invite you to imagine the calm and the hope of a new creation. Faith doesn't mean that we won't suffer. Jesus himself suffered and died while holding on to faith. Faith does mean, however, that we can trust him for our future, a future made possible by his faith in God's new creation, by an empty tomb and the defeat of death. Our baptism in water reminds us of this. The water that was once the sign of chaos and death is now the sign of new life. The World Meteorological Organization occasionally retires the names of particularly devastating storms as a sort of memorial. Harvey and Irma will likely be among those names retired. But whatever storm we are facing, may we do so knowing that the one who is in the boat with us will one day retire all those named and unnamed storms and memories forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And I'll invite you to stand as you are able, and we will turn our attention to our next hymn.